Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brad, how are you, man?
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a busy first 2 days here in Dallas. I'm actually flying home tomorrow evening. So after Kalen DeBoer and the rest of the guys talk tomorrow, I'll be back home in the Carolinas.
Yeah, I certainly hear that and understand. You talk about it, I talk about it. There's a full slate here throughout the course of the week. Obviously, we heard the comments by Greg Sankey yesterday. We heard Brian Kelly. Today, we got Kirby Smart. In the first 2 days, has anything stood out to you out of anybody's mouth?
Yeah, nothing too surprising, but Shane Beamer, head coach at South Carolina, he was sort of politicking for his job in the main room, and us local media members who talked to him throughout the offseason, he hasn't really had that sound flash approach. So it was kind of interesting to hear him, you know, talk about how much he loved the Gamecocks and loved coaching in Columbia. I mean, I didn't think he was on the hot seat until hearing those comments yesterday.
Well, when you think about the sub 500 record last year, nothing went up. Do you think he got an edict that he needs to turn things around before he showed up yesterday?
Yeah, possibly so, man. You know, the win total right now is 5.5. Gamecocks face one of the nation's toughest schedules. Certainly not as hard as what Florida and Oklahoma are going to face in ACC play this year. But I just find it interesting that year four for Shane Beamer, it seems like he has several must wins early on that schedule.
Yeah, time flies. I feel like he just showed up. Brad Crawford is joining us courtesy of CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports. We know one guy who is not worried about his job. He ain't worried about nothing. Is a guy that spoke today, and that's Kirby Smart. I understand that he had to spend a lot of time talking about a lot of the vehicular distractions that take place down here in Georgia. Was there anything else of note, or did that really dominate the conversation?
Yeah, it really did dominate. He got a bunch of softball questions in the main room, but after we spoke to Kirby in the breakout rooms and on radio several times, he was kind of peppered with questions. You know, what are you doing to stop all this DUI and street racing and Hellcat nonsense going on in Athens? And, you know, he sort of alluded to a lot of these players' NIL deals are now being cut back a bit when they get arrested or suspended. So I find it very interesting, man, that, you know, the disciplinary actions that Georgia's taking right now, you know, perhaps may curtail some of this stuff in the future. But, I mean, right now, man, the last couple off seasons, Kirby Smart just, you know, cannot keep these guys off the road late at night. And it's certainly putting other lives in danger.
And most definitely, Brad Crawford is joining us, covers the SEC for CBS and 24/7 Sports. Well, now that Nick Saban is gone, Kirby Smart has really been elevated into being the belle of the ball here when it comes down to coaches in the SEC. We also know that Brian Kelly, after what looked like a rocky start at the beginning, everything from his accent to some of the early performance, it seems like LSU is kind of nipping at their tails to continue to improve. What are your thoughts on, you know, Kirby Smart standing as well as Brian Kelly's?
Yeah, if Brian Kelly finds a way to win a season opener at LSU, you know, he's going to be pretty good. Back-to-back double-digit win seasons, but he's lost to Florida State twice. He plays Southern Cal in a few weeks in Las Vegas. He wins that game, you know, that's a win that in his back pocket he might can take to the playoff this year. But obviously three first-round picks going from LSU on offense, Jaden Daniels, two first-round wideouts. They feel pretty good about what they got there, though, with Garrett Nussmeier and a couple guys in the transfer portal. But the million-dollar question in Baton Rouge is, will that secondary be better? I mean, it was one of the worst in program history last fall. You know, he went and swiped Missouri's top assistant coach and Blake Baker to call his defense there at LSU. So Brian Kelly's certainly a coach that, you know, has not won a national championship yet, but he has been knocking on the door at Notre Dame and now at LSU. So I see LSU as a team that, just like Georgia, just like Texas and Ole Miss, is part of that four- or five-team mix that could certainly be in playoff contention.
And most certainly. You talk about Texas. And I'm going to get into one of their backup quarterbacks in a second. You think about all the points that they've been able to put up and even some good showings last year. For both Texas and Oklahoma, what do you think this transition is going to look like full-time as a part of the SEC?
Yeah, I think in year one, Texas is better suited to handle this tough schedule and certainly get to the playoffs. It's going to be very tough for Oklahoma, man. Their offensive line is brand new. They have some veterans on the other side of the ball, but they've got a first-year starting quarterback. And Texas has a quarterback in Quinn Ewers who has held off Arch Manning back-to-back off seasons, and now, you know, he's going to be essentially a three-year starter with the Longhorns. So I like Texas over OU right now as far as the newcomers in the SEC. But Oklahoma's a team that, you know, as long as Brent Venables can sustain top 10 recruiting classes, Oklahoma's NIL game is strong just like Texas. And that's what you need in new college football, and NIL boosters and everything in between.
And Brad Crawford is here with us, covers the SEC for CBS and 24/7 Sports. I want to get back to the NIL in a second. You mentioned Arch Manning. What does Sark have specifically in the water? What's going on in Austin that a guy like Manning, Arch, is just saying, I'm going to stick around and be a backup instead of taking big money somewhere else?
Yeah, I think he feels pretty good about his NIL situation. Of course, you know, none of those figures have really been uncovered. A lot of them have been projected, but I'm sure he's getting, you know, at least $1.5 to $2 million to even be a backup quarterback this season, which is more money than most Power Five elite starters get. And like you said, somehow Sark has convinced Arch to, you know, stay put on the 40 acres. I do think he's going to play this season, but Sark's made it clear throughout the offseason that this is Quinn Ewers' team, and barring injury or a short lease for playing bad, you know, Ewers is going to be the guy that leads them to the playoff. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm Arch Manning, I feel confident that 2025, you know, I'm the guy at Texas, and in 2026 I'm a first-round pick.
Well, we'll hear from Sark and Quinn Ewers tomorrow as Texas steps to the podium and steps to the room. Somebody else who's going to be making his debut, SEC Media Day, Kalen DeBoer is going from the Pacific Northwest, makes his way down here to the South. He still comes back, or at least Jalen Milroe comes back. What is your outlook for Alabama with all the changes, especially the biggest change in the room? Nick Saban is now in the media and not coaching.
Yeah, I tell you what, a few months ago I actually had Alabama outside of my projected preseason playoff, but with the last three commits they've gotten these last couple of weeks, man, all five stars, a couple wideouts and an offensive tackle, Kalen DeBoer is cleaning up, and it's clear to me in Tuscaloosa that there are some big-time boosters who are already backing this first-year coach. I think expectations, obviously, are going to be quite lofty. You know, they're higher than most programs at Alabama than others, but based on what Kalen DeBoer was able to do last year with not nearly as much talent as he's going to have year after year in the SEC, I think it was a great hire. Alabama pretty much had their pick of elite head coaches, and you know, they felt pretty good, the power brass there, in getting Kalen DeBoer. And so far, so good. But, you know, we'll know early in September with games against Wisconsin and Georgia and Texas on the schedule just how good Alabama really is.
And Brad Crawford covers the SEC. Well, you talk about the changes down in Alabama. I'm real interested to see what Jalen Milroe does. Second full year as a starter. You talked about Jaden Daniels now gone into the NFL. He came out of nowhere after having to spend time up at Arizona State. Are there other players that we should look out for in general in the SEC? Anybody that may be under the radar that's posed or primed for an explosion?
Yeah, under the radar players is tough because with the expanded playoff, I mean, we're talking about 8 or 9 teams that have legitimate, you know, playoff expectations. Obviously, the SEC is probably going to get 3 or 4 teams in that 12-team mix. All 8 aren't going to get there. But this is the first time in, you know, 12 years of myself covering the conference that I really feel that down the middle there's a legit number of national title contenders. I think Jackson Dart, though, Ole Miss quarterback, a lot of us, including myself, have had him maybe 3 or 4 top quarterback in the SEC. After seeing how confident he was this week in Dallas and, you know, hearing Lane Kiffin speak so highly of him, I mean, there's a chance he has a 40-touchdown pass season and Ole Miss is in the playoff as one of the top seeds. So I think Jackson Dart's a guy that maybe he's not getting 2025 first-round buzz right now, but he could certainly be there in a few months.
You mentioned Lane Kiffin. We saw him conducting some interviews. He obviously, his dad passed away last week, a legend. How was he, all things considered? I mean, people gave him a break, let him show up and leave and mind his business?
He was a bit subdued, man, compared to most years. He didn't quite seem as loose as he's been, you know, in Atlanta and Nashville and other places that we've held media days. But, I mean, I do think that this is the best team that Ole Miss has ever had on paper. A lot of the rumblings here are Lane Kiffin is eyeing other jobs if he does make the playoff this season at Ole Miss. So, you know, don't be surprised that if Florida has a vacancy in late November and, you know, Billy Napier gets the boot, Lane Kiffin's one of those hot board 1.0 names that, you know, services in Gainesville.
Well, you talk about getting the boot. We heard this. This is probably the biggest news that came out of Media Day yesterday. Greg Sankey, the commissioner, wanted to put his foot down and put his hand on the table real fast and say, listen, I ain't recruiting nobody. I know who just came in. I ain't thinking about who might come in. What do you think is realistic when it comes to potential expansion? Are we talking a few years? Are we talking television contracts further out? What makes that viable to bring in a Clemson or a Florida State?
Yeah, to put it bluntly, Greg Sankey is essentially ESPN, SEC Network, all the cable providers' mouthpiece, and you know he's going to go where the money is, where the TV contracts tell him to. I mean, the SEC right now might not be actively trying to acquire Florida State and Clemson, but if the ACC does deteriorate, like we saw the Pac-12 happen these last couple realignment cycles, then Florida State and Clemson would you know, certainly be SEC-type additions. I think the Big 12, you know, we heard Brett Yormark, the commissioner there, the Big 12 mentioned last week that, you know, we're still open for business. So perhaps they're trying to get in front of the SEC and Big 10 and swipe up the Noles and the Tigers. That would be a headline that would dominate here in Dallas if that were to break this week.
Yeah, well, if that break, do you expect that to break this week, you think?
I don't think it will, man. Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, I'm like, what, are you getting ready to break some news here, Brad? I have to think about that.
Yeah, but it would make sense for me. You know, the Big 12 right now is the only conference that has explored private equity firms, and that means more money. And more money is exactly what FSU and Clemson have been looking for. And right now the SEC and Big 10 say, you know, we don't have enough money for you. So if the Big 12 is able to split revenue not evenly and give FSU and Clemson a bigger share of the pie compared to, you know, the Utahs and Oklahoma States of the world, then the Noles and Tigers would certainly welcome that with open arms.
Well, you know, last question for you. I know myself and everybody here in Georgia, we were disappointed after the loss last year to Alabama, basically gave us the boot. And it's just like, oh, we can't even come back and defend a championship. What do you think about this expanded playoff? It takes some of the drama out. It takes some of the guesswork, and you put in some teams that probably might on the back end potentially could get smashed if it's not a blowout. What are your thoughts on this expansion?
Yeah, I was talking to a Texas Longhorns insider today, and I've got Texas 11-1 the regular season, and being 11-0 going to College Station, and then that rivalry game essentially not meaning much because Texas will already have a spot in the SEC title game wrapped up, and a loss doesn't mean anything. Now you go back to last year, I still think Georgia was one of the best four teams in the country. I mean, they lost by 3 points to Bama on a neutral field, and then they beat Florida State by 60 points and proved that they were one of the elite teams still. But I don't know, man. I think college football playoff expansion was solely a money grab. I think it gives more teams invites to the dance, but we're not going to see, you know, the Liberties and the Ole Misses actually win national championships. They might get to the playoff, but then you've got to beat, you know, three or four straight top 10 teams, and it's just not happening. They don't have the depth that the Georgias, the Bamas, the Ohio States do. So I think over the next 20 years, if we see further playoff expansion, we're still going to see the same dozen or so teams in the mix.
Oh, don't even say further. Don't say that, Brad. Don't say that.
Oh, it's going to happen, man.
God knows we don't need more teams, like more.
We're going to get to 16 and then 24. I mean, it's,
Oh, my God. All right, okay, little mini ridiculous March madness, winter madness for college football. That sounds stupid to me. Hey, Brad, amazing work. Appreciate your insight. Where can people follow you and all of your work with CBS and 24/7?
Yeah, really appreciate it, man. B Crawford 247 on X and Instagram, and I'm on the front page of both of our sites. Appreciate you.
And look forward to chatting with you down the line. And safe travels, okay?
Thank you.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Master outdoor cooking this summer with the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, the inspiring and practical new guide from Stephen Rinella, host of the Meat Eater podcast and television show. With over 100 recipes for meat, fish, poultry, and game birds, accompanied by lush photography and easy-to-follow tips, the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook is the ultimate guide to open-air cooking. Whether you've hunted the ingredients yourself or foraged them from the supermarket. Because food just tastes better when it's caught, cooked, and eaten outside. The Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook by Stephen Rinella is available now.
It's been a 3-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports Podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.